You know, we've just, well, good morning, everyone. Kind of anxious to get started. And I don't know what I'm going to say, but anyway, we'll be blessed. The Lord will bless us, I'm sure. You know, we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and we're going into the new year, and for most people, that's a bigger deal than Christmas was. And you know, Jesus was such a gift given to us by his Father because of his love for each of us. And so many people don't even open the package. They don't even open the gift, I should say. The gift that God gave us, the gift that we need, the gift that will do a lot of things changing in our lives and change our heart for the better. You know, so I look at a lot of people and think that, man, your gift is still under the tree. It's still under the tree. You haven't even opened it. You know, give it a try. You might like it. And you know, when Jesus said this to the people, it was in Luke's gospel, chapter 4, he said, when he was, verse 18, when he was supposed to expound on God's word or share, they gave him the word to read. And this is what it opened to. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and then to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he handed the scroll back, he said this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, it's not to come yet. It's not back there, or I hope God hurries. It's not something that we're just waiting for anymore. But Jesus said, it's now fulfilled. It's here, right now. What are we going to do with it? You know, I got a call from a good friend of mine from my old Army days. John Prince is his name, but his daughter called me because usually he's the one, I kind of play a little game with him. He'll always hurry and try to send me like a Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday or Happy New Year or whatever the occasion, you know, have a great Easter, stuff like that. And I'm like, John, you beat me again. I mean, So this time, he hadn't sent a Merry Christmas. So I hurried, I'll beat you this time. So I hurried up and I sent it to him, and I never heard anything back from him. And it's been, you know, probably a week, close to a week. Well, his daughter called me. I think it was yesterday. And she said, well, and she used her dad's phone. So I answered, hey, John, how you doing? She said, oh, no, this is Susie. Oh, hi, Susie. And she started telling me the things that were happening to his mom and dad. John is 81. And right now he's bedridden. Didn't have a family physician. He just kind of went on in life, and then all of a sudden he got cancer. He didn't know it. His wife has dementia real bad. They've got her in a special home where she can really be taken care of, and, you know, it's special. And John is bedridden in bed. His cancer is so bad that I think she said it metabolized, whatever that means. I have no idea all these medical terms. Metastasized. There you go. I don't know my words. But anyway, his hip is broken because of it. She said what happened is it kind of separates. The bone does. He has bone cancer. And it kind of separates, and then the cancer builds in that and then breaks it. Breaks his bones, and that's what's happened to his hip. So he's in a lot of pain. The doctor said he'll always have that pain. And he told him there was no hope for him. So now they're just trying to work it out to where maybe he can live a little longer. And he's having home health care, and of course he takes medicine for pain. But see, John and Lisa, Lisa is his wife's name, and shortly after we came out of the Army, we was in for 8 years or so, John stayed for 30, and shortly after we got out of the Army, John came to visit because he was in transit. He came from Germany where we were with him and went to Fort Hood, Texas, I believe. And so he stopped by with us, and we were preaching at a church, and I got to talk with him and share Jesus. See, I wanted to share this good news with John. And John was one as, well, let's just put it under the tree. I'm really not interested. And he still really isn't interested. But see, their lives could be more blessed rather than the way it is. They're separated because of sickness. Lisa in a home, and John is totally bedridden. He can't get up. They have to take him to anywhere. They have to call an ambulance. And it's really sad. And of course, Susie, his daughter, is taking care of him. But you see, I'm so glad that God, y'all don't know how blessed we all are. We have some problems, yeah, and we pray about it, and God ministers and changes our lives and even heals us, and you know, and we're all pretty well in our 80s and doing good. And not like my friend who has totally rejected the Lord. But see, that's where I think a lot of people are today. They haven't opened the gift. They haven't received the blessings and the goodness of God in their lives. And then at the end, to go to heaven and to be with God. And people are blinded. And we talked, wasn't it last week, we talked about how Satan blinds our eyes, that we can't see. And so that's where a lot of us are, is we're just blinded. A lot of those people, they're just blinded. They don't understand the good and all that God wants to do with them and through them and how he wants to bless them. So, folks, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting kind of anxious to go and be with the Lord. But see, that's what we got. If we don't continue to live, and we, the Bible says that Christians don't die, they just go to sleep. We just fall asleep. And you wake up with the Lord. And you know, that's really, like Nathan said, that's really not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. So with us, life is a win-win. You know, I have victories and everything here. But see, God has changed our lives because we opened the gift and we've received it. And now we're learning to exercise that strength and that ability in all of our lives. So we're learning and progressing, and God is blessing us with it. But if you weren't, would turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. I want to start with verse 1 in there. See, God spoke to Cain when Cain really messed up. And he said to him, he said, you know, if you do good, he says, things will be better. But if you do bad, things might not go so well for you. Because he said, sin is lying at the door. See, there's a door that we can open in our lives. And we can open that door. We can open it to God. Revelation talks and Jesus says, you know, he says, I stand at the door of your heart. And he says, I knock. And if you'll open the door, he says, I'll come into you. And I'll sup with you. He'll have good fellowship with us. But here he's saying, you know, hey, you need to watch out because sin is at the door and its desire is for you to destroy you. And I think that's where a lot of people are, is they don't realize that sin is at the door, which is blindness, which is really at times whenever you sin, it opens the door to the enemy. And then he comes in and plays havoc. I'm so glad that the Lord has allowed us to see the truth. You see, we heard Jesus knocking and we opened the door unto him. But I want you to look at this. How we live our lives and what we do reveals really our heart and how committed it might be to the Lord in his calling. And, you know, a lot of us think, well, we're just okay, you know. But here's how you can know where you're at and how okay you might be. And so let me read here the first six verses of this. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Let me just throw in verse 7 there. And he says, and if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Will you pray with me? Hey, Chris. Father, I thank you for your word and all that you've done for us, Lord. And what we need to do is simply to receive it, Lord. Make that choice and receive you and allow you to have control of our lives and our heart. Father, as you convict us and share different things with us, that we would be to a point that we would just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that we would realize that the Lord has our best at heart. And so, Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus and all that he does in our lives. And we just thank you. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's an account of Cain's offering. And it raises an important question about why didn't God receive Cain's offering of the first fruits of the ground? Why didn't he? Have you ever thought of that? You know, I often thought that, well, it was because it was just from the ground. And when Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus killed an animal and skinned it to provide clothing for them. So that's why God didn't accept his offering and what he did. But you know, as I looked at that and prayed about it and studied about it, I think it goes far deeper than that. Far deeper. So let's look at it. I think the primary issue that's at play is not merely the gift itself or the nature of the offering, but really the heart condition of the giver. See, understanding offerings. Cain's offering, where he offered the fruit of the ground, which can be interpreted as a portion of his agriculture of produce. However, the text does not specify one thing. It doesn't specify that it was the best or the first. It wasn't because it was, I believe, agricultural and not a lamb, but that Cain was a little negligent in his desire really to give, I think, God the first and the best of what he had. I don't know if he goes through it and said, you know, whatever it might be. Let's say, you know, he dug his potatoes and, you know, and different things. He had them all there and he kind of looked at them and thought, oh, that one's okay. Not the best, not the biggest, but it's okay. And finding other items, and that's okay too. That's okay. God doesn't really care. It doesn't really matter. And a lot of times, as I think as Christians, sometimes we're that way. Sometimes we may feel that what we do is not really important. You know, I mean, I don't preach and I don't do this. I just basically go to church and go through the whole service like most everybody else does. So I'm really not that important. And that's not true. It's not true at all. And so here's Cain with that kind of attitude that it's good enough. I didn't bring the best or the first, but I brought good stuff. And so it's good enough. But then Abel's offering, let's look at that. It says that Abel, on the other hand, he brought the firstborn of his flock and of that and of their fat portions. So Abel, it says, gave the best of what he had, showing a heart of gratitude and reverence towards God. So it was important to him to give the best and the first. And see, that I believe is the main reason anyway why God rejected Cain, but yet accepted Abel and his gift. So it's important to us, I think, to realize that whatever we do, we need to realize that we do it unto the Lord. And we need to give the best that we have. So it's a choice of what do we do. So the importance of offering our best, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So it says, let each one, in 2 Corinthians 9:7 again, let each one of us give as we purpose in our heart. Not grudgingly, or a necessity, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I remember times Charlene wasn't real happy with me. And I would ask her for something. And she would just kind of throw it in front of me. There. Like, wow. And you know, my heart thought is, if it troubled you that much to just hand me something that was right next to you, then I wish you hadn't have done it. Keep it. I wonder if that's how God is sometimes. If you do it out of obligation, see, God says, he says, I want your heart. I want your love. You've got mine. I've given you everything. See, he asks us to give, but look how God gave. Did God just say, oh, just kill a goat and everything's fine? I'll try to get you to heaven. Now work hard so that you can earn your ticket and your way to heaven. But see, the Lord didn't do that, did he? It says that God so loved us that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his son, who he loved with all his heart. And he knew what all he had to go through to pay the price for us. At the time, a bunch of goats. We had a lot of sin. Doesn't it say that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Do you see how God gave everything? He held nothing back for us. And yet so many people won't even accept it. They'll let the gift under the tree. But I thank God that we see the value. And we go out of our way, not because we have to help somebody, but because hopefully we love God and that's our heart's desire. I like Ruthie. We need her in our neighborhood. She could really teach us some things. I don't think Ruthie is probably perfect. I mean, I don't know anything wrong with her, but I'm sure there's none of us that are really perfect as such, right? But yet she'll make up 25 little baskets or whatever to hand out to her neighbors every year. And then God gave her the opportunity to be able to pray with one who was in crisis at the time. It's all timing. And God set that up, but she would have missed it. She would have missed that opportunity. And now the they're going to be able, instead of getting the divorce that they mentioned, that now they're going to try to work it out. Folks, do you see, when you learn to do it with all of your heart, with love for God, God will be able to take that and he will be able to bless. And yes, we try to serve the Lord and always do the right thing, but we're never perfect in it. But yet God blesses the effort. And I'm so thankful to God, because I would have never thought doing that as Ruthie did. I almost got eat up by a dog because I took vegetables out of my garden to give to the neighbor one time. And he had a mean dog tied out in the thing, and I'm not afraid of dogs. But I was inside the chain length when the dog decided to get bothered about me. And so I wasn't going to run. All I could do was stand there. And then after a few minutes, the neighbor came out and said, "What do you want?" Because he wasn't friendly. And I said, "Oh, I brought him corn and different things from the garden. He had a nice bag of stuff. I said, I have a garden and I just wanted to give you some goods if you would like them." "Oh, yeah, I can take them." You know, and so he took them, no thank you, no nothing, but it's okay. See, I try to do it for the Lord. Now he's moved, and now there's another character there. I don't know what's wrong with that house. But anyway, nothing but mean people live there. And so last year, he doesn't plow anything. He doesn't talk to anybody, just cold and wants nothing to do with people. You know, I try, wave hi to him, and he'll just like turn his head like, "How dare you even wave at me?" One day, he's stuck in his driveway, because you know how they plow the roads and he gets the big bank in his drive. Well, then now he's stuck in that bank. So I have a plow truck. I go over there. I pull him off of that. And then I said, "Would you like me to try to push that bank away for you?" "Yeah, that'd be good." And so I did that. Took me about an hour to work on that thing, because a lot of stuff was so hard and frozen and different things, and I'm, you know, and the snow's deep. And finally I get it all knocked back, and not so much as a thank you or nothing, and he uses it. But, and he never waved before, but he walks his dog. Well, since last year, since I worked so hard plowing his drive and everything, and I'm watching it this year for him, that when he's walking his dog and I go by, I'll wave. And at first he wouldn't wave back. Well, now he waves back. So I'm making some headway. Maybe I should make a basket and take it to him, right? But anyway, I'm doing things not for gratitude, because I don't think I would ever get that, and I don't need it. But see, I do it for the Lord. So I belong to the Lord, and I want to be his witness. You know, it says, you know, go share it on the mountain. And so I just try to do what I can do for people, wherever I'm at and whatever circumstance that there is. But see, that's what God is calling us to. And that's why the Lord accepted Abel's offering, because he had a heart for God. And him and Cain worked together. And I'm sure Abel was kind of hurt for Cain, because he had that heart for God. So he was concerned for Cain. Well, then after God tried to correct him, Sometimes we don't like God's correction, but God tried to correct him by sharing with him about sin's at the door, bud. You need to watch out. If you learn to do good, you know, you'll be accepted. As we try to warn people, and you hear it a lot in the messages, and a lot of people get angry. He preached right at me. I'm not going back there again. But it can be God's correction. So later on, Cain got a hold of Abel. And he said, hey, I need to talk to you. Let's go talk. So Abel went. They talked, and as they talked, Cain probably got angrier. You ever have talked to someone that really is full of hate? They're bitter. And anger just gets stronger as they talk. And Abel said, hey, I don't know, man. I just love God, and I thought that's what he wanted. And well, then why didn't he accept mine? Cain, I don't know, man. I don't know. I said, you're my brother, and I love you. And Cain probably rose and said, I don't want your love. And then killed him. But see, that's how that stuff, that's how it goes. So what's in you? You know, you can see what people do and how they act and how they love and how long maybe their patience is, whatever. You know, probably the people in Ruthie's neighborhood is probably thinking, man, she's great. I'm sure they do. And a lot of them might have been sitting at home just waiting, saying, isn't it about time every year? But see, that's what it's all about. They know that she cares and that she loves. They know that. And God knows that. And so when I look at why these, I've got more, but I'm not going through it. I think you're getting the point. I think you understand. But see, if the Lord doesn't have us and use us and can use us and we're willing to be used by him, you know, he can do something. But if we don't, he can't do anything. That's why there's a lot of people that don't hear. How many people do you know that are so loving and caring, you know, in your communities? There's not many. And so the Lord uses us. We're that light. We're the light that shines in the darkness. There's people that ask us, how can you love like that? How can you do that? Well, we do it because we're filled with God's love. See, our offering to God is really to give of ourself to the Lord. And so, Lord, you can use me. See, I want the Lord to use me. Man, I even had a heart attack to go see, to talk to somebody. Literally. And it was very mild. I'm like, really? This is what a heart attack is all about? I didn't even realize it until I went. I thought, just get it checked out. And they did the blood test. I said, oh, yeah, you had a heart attack. It still are. I'm like, well, I don't really feel it. But then that's when the Lord told me when I was in the emergency. We were just sitting there visiting with the guy there. And the Lord told me, he said, there's somebody I want you to talk to. And I'm like, who? Is it this guy? Lord doesn't say anything. We just got to learn how to trust him in faith, right? But then when we got to the room upstairs right away, I knew it's her that I need to talk to. You know, she pretty well cried when we left the hospital. But see, it wasn't us. Y'all gonna see when people see Jesus in us, that's when the anointing touches them. We just do our best and we let God do the rest. Man, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't, like I was, I would hurt people. But now I want to love people. And I beg God to use me. I always pray, God, anoint me. Anoint the words that I speak. Wherever I go, Lord, just let people see the anointing, your anointing. Let you be glorified and you be lifted up. See, it's not really about me. It's about him. He gave everything, just for me and for you. And so I'm not holding back anything. There were people that were talking one time, man, we can't make our house payment. We've got insurance due. We've got this going on, and there's no way we can pay it. We don't have a lot of money, but we was able to scrape up enough to give them enough to make their payments. But you know, a lot of times we kind of at a place where God can ask too much of us. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. I have the means to do it, but I'm not going to do that. And that's sad. Because we hold back from the Lord. And you don't know what kind of blessing God's got set up for you. Because you get blessed. Man, I was so blessed when this nurse didn't want me to leave. I'm like, I got pretty good insurance. I guess we could stay another day. Folks, do you understand what I'm saying? Don't be a Cain. Be an Abel. Be an Abel. Let God bless you and bless others. See, I'm blessed when I'm able to bless others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your people as I see such change take place in here. Lord, as your word is shared, I see people taking hold of it and using it to your glory. And Father, that's why you're going to take this church and you're going to be glorified in it. And you're going to do mighty, great works through this church, this body right here, a little church out in the middle of nowhere. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be here for the time that we have been. And then, Lord, to see you working into people's lives. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. And Father, I honor you because it's all you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. Let me read a blessing over you. I think blessings, whether you realize it or not, are so important. You know, a lot of times we have people who curse us and everything, but yet God says, no, I'm going to bless my people. And so you speak blessings over my people. The world curses them, but he says, I bless them. So here we go. The blessing of the Lord says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.